With Pastor Teacher Harry Reeder, this is In Perspective.
In the text that's in front of you, the Apostle Paul identifies the fact that he's a servant and he identifies the fact that he's a steward. He identifies both of those. And then he gives us something that I want you to remember. He says, when all is said and done, as a steward, he wants to be found faithful. What do you mean, found faithful? That is, God finds him faithful even at the judgment seat. And there will come my commendation.
Welcome, and stay with us as Dr. Harry Reeder applies the scriptures to the everyday events of life, that we might begin to view our existence from God's eternal perspective, that we might view all of life from a biblical perspective. Today on In Perspective, Harry brings us part two of the message entitled Christian Stewardship, An Identity and a Vocation. We continue with our new series on lifestyle stewardship. When you become a believer, your identity in Christ is Christ. And there are multiple facets to this new identity. You are a sinner saved by the grace of God, a saint secured by the grace of God, a soldier for Christ on a mission, on message, and in ministry, a servant of Christ in unrivaled devotion to the Master, and a steward called to faithfully manage the resources and responsibilities allocated to you. How are we to fulfill our identity and vocation as faithful stewards as we pursue genuine lifestyle stewardship? If you're following along in the scriptures, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. We're looking at verses 1 through 5. Here again is Harry Reeder with part 2 of the message, Christian Stewardship, An Identity and a Vocation.
What does it mean to do Christian stewardship? Come on the journey with me. It is an exciting, encompassing journey to find out the breadth, the height, the depth, and the length of Christian stewardship. And that's where we're headed. So what does that vocation look like? What does it mean to have a calling? Now, we've got multiple callings as Christians. I'm called to worship God. I'm called to be an evangelist. I'm called to be an ambassador for Christ. I am called to be a discipler. I am called to be discipled. I have multiple callings in life. One of those callings, a key calling, is I am called to be a steward of everything God has allocated to me, and to use those things, supervise those things, and manage those things for Him. Can I just make a side comment? I've been thinking through this a little bit. Of all of the callings that we have as Christians, worship, evangelism, all of them, they're all challenges in a fallen world. But I believe the two biggest challenges of our calling in Christ, the two biggest, is worship and stewardship. And here's the reason for both of them being a challenge. We keep trying to make worship about us instead of Him. What do I think of the sermon? What do I think of the song? What do I think of this? What do I think of that? Instead of, was God pleased? Was God lifted up? Was He honored? The tendency and the default is even to take something so holy. You know, that's why Jesus saved you, was to worship Him. It's no accident that the woman at the well gets saved and gets the question answered about worship. It's no accident that the end of, you know what our purpose is in missions? That the praise of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That worship, God-centered worship, is why I was made, why I was saved, and why I'm sustained in His providence. But the tendency is to make it about me. And the second thing is the same thing in stewardship. In stewardship, it's a duty that I have to accomplish instead of a life that I need to embrace. And I'm constantly thinking this way. What am I going to give to God from what I own? That is not stewardship. Christian stewardship is not what do I give to God from what I own. Christian stewardship is I don't own anything. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Just let me give you a couple of helps in this matter of Christian stewardship principles. Here's one. Christian stewardship is we own nothing. You'll never get to Christian stewardship if you think you own. I understand we're in a society where you got property titles and all of that. But in our mind, our perspective, here's what we know. Whatever it is that in this world system they say I own, I actually know I don't own anything. God owns the house. God owns my job. God owns my bank account. God owns my calendar. God owns every moment of every day in my life. God owns that. And here's the second thing. The second thing is not only do I own nothing, I'm owned by Christ. I belong to Him. Now, folks, this, listen, please listen. Can I jump up and, no, I won't jump up and down. Listen, this is the key to lifestyle stewardship. If you get this wrong or reject it or set it aside, then forget Christian stewardship. You'll never embrace it. You may give a little something from time to time for this or that or the other, but you'll never know the joy of being a steward for Christ and what it means to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant. You never get there. These two are crucial. Now, because of that, is what I just said to you biblical or not? So I want to take just a moment and ask you to go to a passage of Scripture with me, two passages of Scripture, to set the nail on these two principles. I own nothing and Christ owns me. Is that biblical or not? Would you take your Bibles from 1 Corinthians 4, go over two chapters to 1 Corinthians 6. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, slip down to verse 19. Or do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? God lives in you. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit within you, whom you have from God. You are not your own. You were bought with a price. So what? Be a good steward. Glorify God. In your body, in this existence, in this world. That's why I'm here, to glorify God and enjoy Him forever. Who am I glorifying? The one who bought me with His blood. The one who purchased me from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. The one who gave me forgiveness and eternal life in Christ. Can I just stop here? Do you know Him? Are you bought? With the blood, the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb. Do you know what it means to be forgiven, to be made acceptable with the righteousness of Christ? If you do, now you know this. Many of you already knew it, but let's set the nail. Now you know this. I am not my own. I am not my own. I belong to Him. Take your Bibles and go to one more passage, Romans chapter 14. So just go backwards to Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 8. Well, let me go to verse 7. For none of us lives to himself. None of us lives to himself. None of us simply dies to himself. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end, Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. I am not my own. I belong to Him. I am the Lord's. And therefore, all that I have belongs to Him because I belong to Him. We own nothing. So right now, in your mind, go home, pull out a piece of paper, write it. I just acknowledge I don't own anything. I'm a steward, not an owner. And I am owned by Jesus. And therefore, all that I have belongs to Him. Why? Third principle, He gave it to you. He gave you your marriage, your children, your job. He blessed the work of your hands. All that you have, He has given to you. All we have has been allocated to us by God. Here's the fourth one. We are now accountable and called to be faithful. We are now accountable for those things He has given to us and called to be faithful. And you remember what Paul said? What you think is done in the darkness is going to be brought to light. What you think is simply in the light is going to get more light. He is going to expose that which we are and what we've done. Now, is our salvation on the line? No. Jesus has secured our salvation. But our sanctification and our stewardship will be made evident on that day. On that day, we are called. We know that we're accountable, for the Bible says we must all appear before the judgment seat. Those who don't know Christ will be there to be judged in terms of sin and utter judgment and condemnation. Those who do know Christ that are written in the book of life, our judgment will be our stewardship and our sanctification. And I will be accountable, just like the parable of the talents, just like the parable of the minas, that what I was given and allocated, I am accountable for how did I use it and what did I do with it. So let me give you the takeaway. Here's the takeaway. Okay, qualifier. This is not the last definition of Christian stewardship I'm going to give you. I've got a shorter version that we'll get to, okay? This is a work. I know this is not a bumper sticker definition. This is our foundational definition. This is our working definition. I promise next Lord's Day, I'm going to have the motto definition, the shorter one that we'll be able to give in the elevator and remember. But this is the one that's comprehensive that I want you to get, the foundational definition of Christian lifestyle stewardship. Here's what it is. The economy, here's what Christian lifestyle stewardship is. It is the economy of a gospel-shaped life that faithfully and productively invests all that God has allocated to us for His glory, as directed by the Word of God and as enabled by the Spirit of God. Those are the basics I want to get covered with you. Christian stewardship is shaped by the gospel. Christian stewardship is not an effort to create a gospel. If I live good enough, I get saved. Christian stewardship is shaped by the gospel. The gospel is the foundation, the formation, and the motivation of every aspect of the Christian life. The gospel shapes my worship. The gospel shapes my stewardship. The gospel shapes my event. All of the contours of my life are shaped by the gospel of saving grace in Christ. I am working out what God by His grace is working in to my life. So it is shaped by the gospel. Let me give it to you the way one of the guys that discipled me years ago used to say, no be do. This is not a new Star Wars character. No be do. Know who you are in Christ. Be what you are for Christ. Do what you do unto Christ. Don't do to be. Know who you are by the grace of God in Christ. Be who you are. I'm a steward. I'm a worshiper. I'm an evangelist. I'm an ambassador. I know who I am, and I'm assured. I'm assured that I am saved by God's grace. My stewardship, like everything else, is going to be uneven, imperfect, up, down, detoured, all of that. But I want to get on the journey. I want to be on the journey of growing stewardship. And it is the gospel that motivates me, the gospel that shapes me, the gospel that leads me, the gospel that fills me. I am what I am by the grace of God. I call to what I'm doing to the glory of God by the grace of God. That's what's in my life, a gospel-shaped life. And what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to be faithful. And what am I supposed to do? I know, Harry, are you a capitalist? Yep, I am. Whatever he gave me, I want to invest it and use it and multiply it. And we're going to learn that. And so, Harry, how can you multiply little as much when God is in it? It's amazing what God will multiply with a couple of loaves and fishes. But good stewards who are faithful and productive, investing what God has allocated to us. What I have, God gave me. He allocated it to me. Gave me my wife. He gave me my children. Gave me my calling. Gave me my ministry. Gave me my gifts. Gave me my experiences. He's given me all of those things. Now, will I faithfully use them? Will I productively use them? As directed by the Word of God. I don't go over there and contemplate my navel. What does it mean to be a Christian steward? I go to the Bible. What does the Bible tell me to do with my responsibilities? What does the Bible tell me to do with my relationships? What does the Bible tell me to do with my resources? The Bible directs me in all of the arenas of my Christian stewardship. But I can only do it by being enabled by the Spirit of God. Folks, there's some great motivators. The gospel motivates you. The preeminence of Christ. Don't you love Colossians chapter 1? That in all things Christ would have preeminence? That's stewardship. When I go to work, I want Christ to be preeminent. When I preach a sermon, I want Christ to be preeminent. When I parent, I want Christ to be preeminent. When I do a hobby, I don't want the hobby to be preeminent. I want Christ to be preeminent. Whatever it is, we want Christ to be preeminent. Let me give you another motivator. He's worth it. He's worth everything. All that I have, he is worthy of it. He not only gave it to me, he is worthy of me bringing it back to him. Another motivator is I'm going to be accountable. I remember when I'd go off to school and I'd get home from school. I mean, I'd be dead tired from practice or baseball, basketball, football, whatever it was. I'd get home, Ike, here's your list. And there'd be bullet points. Mop the floor. Clean off the table. Go check your bed. It wasn't done right. I can remember. And some of them would be underlined. And I knew those are the ones that she would come home with a white glove inspection. Accountable. That I will be accountable for what I have used. Now, again, it's not my salvation that's at stake, but my stewardship will be tested. Can I give you another? Listen to this one. Can I give you another motivator? This is going to be fun. This is a great road trip. You're going to get to talk to Jesus on this. You're going to get to talk with fathers and mothers in the faith that are going to help you through this. This is a great adventure. This is a test that brings a testimony. Let me give you another motivator. This will fulfill your deepest desire, not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to thine own name give glory. And here's your deepest desire. When you get to that judgment seat, and there are the talents and gifts and responsibilities and the things that God allocated. And by none of us will have ever been profitable. When all said and done, we're not profitable. But could we hear from Jesus? Well done. Good and faithful. Found faithful. Well done. Good and faithful servants. You got some obstacles, folks. You really do have some obstacles. Let me give you a couple of obstacles. You got these wonderful motivators, but you got some obstacles. One is we consistently, every morning that I wake up, I know I got to kill my old man because every morning I keep wanting to take my life back for me. It's all about me, not all about being a steward. It's all about, for my master. It's all about me. I keep wanting to be master. I keep wanting to be the owner. I have to kill me every day. That's an obstacle. I'm the obstacle. Another obstacle I have is hard to be, listen, it's hard to be faithful as a steward with your job, your money, your marriage, and your children if your identity is your job, your money, your marriage, and your children. If that's your life and that's your identity, if that's the idolatry of your life, that's what makes me who I am, you can never be a good steward of it. Now, it'll never fulfill. But as long as your identity is not Christ, then you can't be a steward for Christ. If your identity is your job, if your identity is your bank account, if your identity is your children, if your identity is your marriage, then you can never be one who brings the preeminence of Christ to everything. Another obstacle, jealousy and envy. Well, he only gave me 2 talents. I think he should have gave me 5. Listen, brothers and sisters, I love what Robertson McQuilkin said to my dear friend Mike Ross. He said to him, he said, Dr. McQuilkin, I just got a problem. And Mike and I talked about this incipient jealousy that pastors can have. And here's what Dr. McQuilkin said. Oh, I love this guy. He was the president of Columbia Bible College and later university. And here's what he said. Look, guys, he said, if God gives this guy 5 drums to beat, go praise the Lord. If he gives you 2 drums to beat, you praise the Lord. You pray for him as he beat his 5 drums, and then you just go be the best 2-drum beater that's ever been living. If that's what God, don't envy the guy with 5, just go be a good 2-drum beater. And thank God for what he gave you. And be the best 2-drum beater that's ever existed. But don't get caught up in jealousy and envy. God has given you, now put this in the back of your mind, we're going to build on it. Can I give you another obstacle? Another obstacle are the training tools that God's given you for stewardship. Wait, Harry, say that again? Thank you. I wanted to say it again. The training wheels. You know what a training wheel for stewardship is on resources? The tithe. You know what a training wheel is for the hours of a day and a year and a life? The Sabbath, the Lord's Day. When you learn how to set aside one, that's foundational to setting aside all of life. When you learn how to set aside the tithe and the first fruits, then that's training wheels for everything. But if you don't see that as a training wheels for everything, but as the minimum to get by, then the training wheels become an obstacle. In other words, it's what one preacher called the 1090. God, I'm bringing you the tithe, and the 90% is mine. God, I'm bringing you the Lord's Day, but the other 6 are mine. You just misused the training wheels. The tithe is there to acknowledge and affirm it's all from Him and to Him. The Lord's Day, the first day, the resurrection day, is there to affirm the other 6 I'm working for Him, they're His. So don't let the instruments that God's given become the objective. They're the training wheels, as my friend Randy Alcorn says. They're the training wheels to help you in discipleship of being a good steward. The thing that allows us at the moment of opportunity in stewardship of our resources, our responsibilities, and our relationships is we've already built it as a way of life. We are stewards. I own nothing. It belongs to Him. He is worthy. I am His, and He is mine. God, by Your grace, may I be found faithful. Stewards for Christ. Found faithful, managing, using, overseeing our relationships with the preeminence of Christ. our responsibilities in life for the preeminence of Christ. Our resources, all of these things He has allocated to us sovereignly, using them because we own none of them. We're owned by Him. Say, Pastor, I haven't taken that first step yet of being owned by Christ. And I know I'm a sinner and I want to turn from my sins and put my trust in Him. Then today is a glorious day that your life is stewarded by Christ and kept by Christ for all eternity. Jesus, we come. Nothing in our hands do we bring. To the cross we cling. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee, for the praise of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
You are a sinner saved by the grace of God, a saint secured by the grace of God, a soldier for Christ on a mission, on message, and in ministry, a servant of Christ, in unrivaled devotion to Him, and a steward called to faithfully manage what the Lord has allocated to you. Now, if you would like to receive an audio copy of the entire message from which today's In Perspective was taken, write and request Christian Stewardship, An Identity and a Vocation, or simply ask for message number 15283. Again, that's message number 15283. We do request $5 when you request today's CD. Address your request to In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243. Pastor-teacher Harry Reeder says of the Apostles' Creed, it is a gift of God's providence to His church, containing essential foundations of the faith once for all delivered to the saints as an instrument of discipleship, confession, and unity. In a nutshell, it summarizes in three concise sentences what the Christian believes. Harry has developed an in-depth 20-part series on the Apostles' Creed that every believer ought to have as a part of their personal study. Know the Apostles' Creed, and you will always be able to share what you believe. You can obtain the entire series by going to briarwood.org/Apostles' Creed CD. Again, that's briarwood.org/Apostles' Creed CD. We hope that In Perspective is encouraging you in your walk with Christ. We would love to hear back from you. Write Harry at In Perspective, 2200 Briarwood Way, Birmingham, Alabama 35243, or email inperspective@briarwood.org. Join us again next time as Harry Reeder takes us back into the Scriptures so that we might learn to put life in biblical perspective.